136, beginning in verse number 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer tonight. Our Father, we thank you tonight that we can call you our Father by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the salvation you've so freely given us. And Father, tonight surely we can count our blessings, and Father, think of so many things that we can praise you for. I pray, Father, you would stir our hearts here tonight, God, as we consider this call to thankfulness, that Father, we would understand the heartbeat of the psalmist and his desire for your people to give you the praise that's due your name. Father, we could praise you beginning now for all eternity, and it would not compensate for your goodness to us. Father, you're such a good God. You're such an amazing God. You're such a merciful God, such a loving God. Father, we find no fault with you. Lord, we just thank you for being in control of our lives. We thank you, God, for directing us. Father, we understand we're not puppets in your hand. Father, we almost regretfully are not, because it's the very fact that we have a will that sometimes takes us away from you. Amen. So, Father, tonight we pray that you would use this psalm to excite our hearts. And, Father, as we think about thankfulness tonight, Lord, that you would just show us the many things that we have to be thankful for. God, there are so many that are innumerable. And, Father, they all come from you, and they're all made possible by you. Amen. So, Father, help us not tonight just to think of the things we're thankful for, but, Father, recognize the source of all the good things that we have. Yes. Bless your word to each and every one of our hearts tonight. Challenge us, encourage us, strengthen us, challenge us. Whatever we need, Father, we ask that you would do in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Notice what the psalmist writes here, beginning in verse number 1. O give thanks unto the Lord. Verse number 2, O give thanks unto the God of gods. Verse number 3, O give thanks to the Lord of lords. And then I call your attention down to the last verse in the chapter, verse number 26. O give thanks unto the God of heaven. Now the Bible could simply say, give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks unto the God of God. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. But that simple letter O means that the psalmist is calling us to thankfulness. He's encouraging us. He's challenging us to be thankful. It's not just a command, thank the Lord. It's not just a command, give thanks to him, but it's a plea, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. It's a sad state of mind right off the beginning that anyone would have to plead with us to give thanks to God. It should be a natural tendency. It should be a natural desire. When we consider all that he does, it should be very easy for us to give thanks to him. But the fact of the matter is, it's not always easy, or we always don't remind ourselves or remember that we ought to give thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul wrote this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will for us to give thanks. All of us do not appreciate people that are not thankful. When you do something, when you go out of your way for someone and do something nice for them, you don't expect retribution necessarily. You're not looking for a monetary handout. You're not looking for anything. But when you do something good for someone, you're just hoping they'll at least have the courtesy to say, thank you. How many times, though, have you done something for someone and not even gotten the thank you? That's a natural tendency of mankind. It's too many times we disobey the command, in everything give thanks. I mean, somebody hits you in the mouth, give thanks. I mean, it says in everything. I must have needed that. I must have deserved it. I don't know why. But there's something in our human nature sometimes that we fail in even the easiest situations to give thanks. And I don't know about you, but I'm not condemning those that forget to say thank you, because I have too many times found my place in this, my position in that same place, forgetting to be thankful. And you know, the Bible tells us that is a sign of the times. Yes. You're familiar with 2 Timothy chapter 3 and about the last days, perilous times shall come. And in that list of grievances that God gives about the attitude of mankind, he said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. See, now we can all blame it on the younger generation. That's who he's talking about. Once we hit 30, it's not us anymore. It's the younger generation. I don't know where the younger generation might have got it from, but somebody down the line, starting 2,000 years ago, was disobedient to parents. And it said after that, unthankful and unholy. Now again, we want to sit back and look at the young generation today and say, boy, are they unthankful. Well, they learned well. The apple didn't fall too far from the tree. And it's a tendency of human nature to forget to be thankful. Oh, we don't forget to complain. We don't forget our grievances. We don't forget when things don't go the way it would be easiest for us or most desirous. But boy, it's easy to forget to say thank you when things go good. A sign of the times we have this day is Thanksgiving, whose designated title would encourage us to be thankful. And yet if you listen to the radio and if you watch the news and everything, thankfulness is not the theme of the holiday. It's about food and football as far as society is concerned. And the idea of stopping and pausing and pondering and praying and giving thanks for that day. I mean, the very name Thanksgiving means it's a day to give thanks, and yet so many just overlook it. Our society overlooks it from the fact that the minute they take down the Halloween stuff, they put up the Christmas stuff. There are people, you go through town now and there are Christmas decorations out. Hey, there's another holiday before that comes around. You say, oh, but isn't it great they're already thinking about the birth of Christ? Well, if that's what they're thinking about, we'd be talking about something different. But the little things I'm seeing, the statues and idols and all that, that they're putting up already are nothing about Jesus Christ. It's about Santa Claus and the elves and all these other things. You say, why is that? And I've got my own theory, and I think I shared it with you a couple of weeks ago. Halloween is a give me holiday. Give me candy. Let's give, let's get, let's get, let's get, let's get. Christmas is a get holiday. All right, I want presents. I want gifts. Thanksgiving is not getting anything. It's giving. And so somehow in the social calendar, it got jumped from the birth of Christ in December back to what some call the birth of the devil in late October. And we skip Halloween in the middle right at the halfway point. Thanksgiving right at the halfway point. Our tendency is not to be thankful. We need to remind ourselves that we have so much to be thankful for. We need to be thankful for our heavenly calling. Those of us that are saved, we need to be thankful we're going to heaven when we die. There's many things. We sang Count Your Blessings. I can't name all the things we should be thankful for. But I know one of them is the fact that we're saved. The fact that we have a heavenly calling. Now, that doesn't put us above everybody else that's not saved. They had a heavenly calling too. They just didn't answer the phone. God spoke to their heart and they rejected Him. We need to be thankful that we did the smartest thing we've ever done. And that is trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we're not boasting of ourselves or bragging of ourselves. We're just looking at others that Jesus Christ also died to save and saying, why aren't you getting this? Why aren't you getting in on this? Why aren't you trusting Christ? What in the world is holding you back from the free gift of eternal life, your sins forgiven, a changed heart, a changed relationship with God? What in the world holds you back? We need to be thankful that we have come into our heavenly calling. We need to be thankful for our heritage as a nation, regardless of what the new writers of the history books say. We need to be thankful for our heritage. Oh, if we could just get a videotape or a DVD of that first Thanksgiving and see them bowing their heads and thanking God for their provision. Indians and Caucasians together, bowing their heads at peace with one another. Yeah, there was all the strife. There was the headhunters. There were the Indians cutting off scalps. But that wasn't Thanksgiving Day. That's not what that is about. And there are different groups of people that got intermingled in with these others just like they do today. But our foundation of our nation still was built on a heritage of godliness. The thing that makes America different from any other country today is the heritage of our nation being founded on Christian values and Christian principles. We can send our military to any country on this globe, And we can go in there and defeat the anarchists and defeat the atheists and defeat the worshipers of false gods, but we cannot instill in the hearts of the people what we have as a heritage. That's the problem when we say, we'll go to this country, we'll set up democracy. Democracy is not something you set up overnight. Democracy is not something that you pitch every principle you've ever learned for as a kid, and now just, you need a change of heart. You need something different to go on in here. That's how our nation was founded, by people that had a change of heart. We need to be thankful for our heritage. We need to be thankful for our homes. I don't know about you, but I think I do. My home is a sanctuary from this world. My home is a place where I can go in and shut that door and leave the trash outside. Now the problem is sometimes the trash sneaks its way in. We've got to be careful what comes in through that door, in through the airwaves, in through every possible avenue, because the devil's targeted you and I more than anybody else because of our faith in Jesus Christ. But it's a nice thing to go in and close the door and leave the cussing on the outside. I got in the budget rental driving truck, whatever it's called. I get in the U-Haul or whatever yesterday. Only 4,000 miles. I said, it's brand new, only 4,000 miles. The minute I get in and shut the door, it smelled like smoke. I hate that smell. I'm thankful when I walk in my door of my house and shut the door, there's none of that odor in the house. I'm thankful it's a refuge. I hate the smell of alcohol. That sweet, stinky smell. That's the world has its scent. The world has its things. I'm thankful I can go in there, close the door, leave the world out. Not just those things, but all the other things that go with it. We have a refuge. We have a sanctuary. We have a place of security and safety in our own homes. And we need to be thankful for that. And we need to appreciate the freedom that we have while we have it. But here's what I want to get to. Those are things we have to be thankful for. But there's a reason we have those things to be thankful for. And that's what the psalmist is talking about here in Psalm chapter 136. Notice he's telling us that there's something far beyond these necessary items that we need to be thankful for. Look, if you would, verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. We need to be thankful for the goodness of God. The goodness of God. The psalmist said, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Our God is a good God. You get around folks that follow other gods or believe in other gods, and you'll find out that they are an oppressed people. You'll find out there are people with no peace. You'll find out there are people that don't have the rest and the security that you have in the God we believe in. Our God is a good God to us. We rest on His promises. We trust in His Word. He gives peace and comfort. The other gods don't give those things. There's commands. There are edicts. There are rules and regulations. And some of those things are in our form of walk in our life also, given by the Word of God. But all the peace that passes all understanding that comes from a good God. In fact, it says here in Psalms, you don't need to turn there, but the beginning of Psalm 106, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. The beginning of Psalm 107, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. The beginning of Psalm 118, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. The last verse in Psalm 118, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. We serve a God who only does us good. In fact, He's such a good God that contact with Him rubs off. He's such a good God that when someone bad is converted to faith in God, he becomes good. And when someone who is good by all outward instinct, is good by their behavior, can become better just by a relationship with that God. God makes people a better person. Whether it's a lost person becoming good, whether it's a good person becoming better, it all happens because of God. He's the only one that can do that. There is no five-step system or 10-step system that can make you a better person. But belief in God can do that because He's a good God. And the better you get to know Him, the better you become. He is a good God, the goodness of God. There's a fellow named Polycarp who lived a long time ago. In fact, he was born in 70 AD. There's a possibility, many say, that he knew personally the Apostle John. And so this guy goes way back. He died in 155 AD. He was the bishop of the church in Smyrna. And when he died, he was put to death at the stake at the hands of Rome. They took him, and because of his faith in Christ and the quick and rapid growth of Christianity, they were trying to squash it. And so they took Polycarp, an old man, an aged man at this time. They tied him to the stake, and the Roman governor came before him. And he said, "We will spare your life if you just say one thing. Caesar is Lord." That's all you got to do. Say, "Caesar is Lord." I mean, he's the ruler, the king, the leader of Rome. It's not a false profession. He is the leader of this country. Just say, "Caesar is Lord." Polycarp's answer has gone down in history. He said this: 86 years have I served him, and he never did me any wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me?" And I like the medal. I like the middle. 86 years have I served him, and he's never done me any wrong. We serve a good God. There are times where things happen in our life. We need to be reminded, he's a good God. He's never done us any wrong. We've gone through trials. We've gone through tribulations. We've gone through testings. But all these things, the Bible says, work together for good, because he is a good God. He does not do anything to our harm. He does not do anything to our misbenefit. Everything that God does is not just to glorify himself, but to use us in order to glorify him, and it's to our benefit. He's a good God. Notice verse number 1 said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Secondly, because his mercy endureth forever. You'll notice that every verse in this chapter ends with that same phrase. All 26 verses end with, "His mercy endureth forever." Mercy has been defined as not giving us the bad that we deserve. That's what mercy is. Not giving us the bad that we deserve. You know, when someone has a proper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, they recognize how unworthy they are. When someone is full of themselves or egotistical or cocky, it's because they have not taken a look at God to realize really how finite they are and how small they are in his sight. And we deserve, according to the Word of God, punishment for our sins. We deserve eternity in hell. But his mercy endureth forever. Thank God for his mercy. Grace is when God gives us the good we do not deserve, like salvation, like forgiveness of sins. But mercy is when he does not give us the bad things we do deserve. And you know the key in that phrase, "For his mercy endureth forever." What if God's mercy were only temporary? What if all the things we know about this good God were true of him now, but we have no guarantee that he wouldn't turn later? What if, like you read in so many mythological books or some kind of writing one way or another, that our God was a wonderful, merciful, graceful, wonderful, good God to us right now, but 1,000 years from now, or 1 billion years from now, that God were to change and then become the angry God of the heathen? Become the merciless God of the world's opinion or view. But I'm thankful the Bible says his mercy endureth forever. It's never going to change. He's never going to go out of character. He's never going to become a different person. Our God's mercy endures forever. We need to be thankful for that. We could have a God that says, you deserve hell, but because you trusted my son, I'll let you live a couple thousand years up here in glory before I kick you out and send you down to what you deserve. But his mercy endureth forever. Be thankful for the security of God. We have a great God. The goodness of God leads us to thank him because he is good and because his mercy endures forever. The goodness of God in verse number 1. Verse number 2 and verse number 3 talk about the greatness of God. The goodness of God in verse number 1, verse 2 and 3, the greatness of God. He is God, capital G, of God, small g. Those things are important. And in verse 3, He is Lord, capital L, of lords, small l. He is God of gods and Lord of lords. Verse number 3 talks about His deity. He is God of gods. There are many gods mentioned in the Bible. When we read through the Bible, we read about Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians. She's even named as such. We read about Chemosh, the god of the Moabites. We read about Milcom, the god of the Amorites. We read about Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians. There are people in Scripture that worshipped a god, and they called it god or goddess other than the Lord God. And you know what the Bible says? He is the God of gods. He said, well, they're not really gods. They are to the people that worship them. They are, by Bible declaration, the goddess, small g, of the Zidonians, the god, small g, of the Moabites and Ammonites and so forth. There are even people today that are worshiping Allah, the god of the Muslims. You know what our God says? I am the God. I am the God. Remember the battle on top of Mount Carmel? When Elijah went up and battled against those false prophets and all the people at the end of that battle, when God answered by sending fire down upon the sacrifice on the altar, the Lord answered by saying, the Lord, He is the God. So now, they didn't say, the Lord, He is God. They said, the Lord, He is the God. There was the God of the prophets of Baal. There was the God of the prophets of the groves. And there was the God of Elijah in that contest. And when it was done, they said, the Lord, He is the God. He's the God of gods. Spurgeon said it this way, if there be powers in heaven or in earth worthy of the name gods, He is the God of them. Somebody very full of themselves said one time, well, I worship the devil. Well, folks, you and I worship the God that the devil worships. Somebody that worships the devil and thinks that they're, you know, all cocky and full of it and everything like that and says, well, you know, I worship, and they're going to scare us by saying, I worship the devil. Well, we worship the God to whom the devil has to bow down to. There's nothing to be afraid of in that. He is the God. In fact, He said, fear not, in Isaiah 44:8. Fear not, neither be afraid. Have I not told thee from that time? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. There's nobody giving competition to our God. Down here on this world, they say, well, this is the fastest growing religion, or this is the quickest growing, or this is that. So what? There's no competition for our God. It doesn't matter how much the little g gods do down here. He's the God of gods. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17 says, for the Lord your God is a God of gods, a great God. It's always nice to be on the winning side. It's always good to know in the end your team's going to come out ahead. I hate to use such a frivolous example, but you know, our God is going to win in the end. The gods of this world might have their time. The worship of this world might have its short period of time. But God's going to win in the end. He is the God of all the gods. He's the Lord of all the lords. He's the God of gods. That indicates His deity. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Notice verse 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. In His deity, He is the God of gods. That speaks about His power in heaven. Ashtoreth, Chemosh, Milcom, Diana, Allah, whoever it might be. He's the Lord God of heaven. Our God is the God of heaven. These gods don't have anything to do with that. That talks about His deity. Verse number 3 talks about His dominion. He's the Lord of lords. That speaks about His power on earth. See, He told His disciples in Matthew 28 and verse number 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. There's no one going to battle Him in heaven. There's no one going to battle Him down here on earth. In fact, you read the book of Revelation and find out when they do try to battle Him in Revelation 19, all it takes from Him is the Word of God coming out of His mouth to annihilate anybody that tries to stand to oppose Him. He is God of heaven and earth. His deity, He's the God of gods. His dominion, He is the Lord of lords. The Bible again speaks of lords. Just as it spoke of gods with a small g, referring to the gods the people worshipped erroneously, so it refers to the lords. We read in the book of Samson much about the lords of the Philistines. When Delilah was trying to find wherein Samson's strength lied, and when he confessed it, or at least she thought he confessed it, she would call the lords of the Philistines. What does that mean? Simply the rulers. Those are in authority. They're referred to in the Bible as lords. There's the lords of the heathen referred to in the Bible. Boy, there's a lot of them around right now. A lot of the lords of the heathen. Chavez down there in Venezuela. Castro, been out in Cuba forever. There's the lords of the heathen. That doesn't mean it. Just because I say those men and those are negative connotations doesn't mean that we can't say the president of the United States sometimes is a lord of the heathen also. Because sometimes our country is not very Christian. Sometimes our country is very heathen also. You take the best that this world can offer, the best and worst of the leadership of this nation and the rulers or the lords, and he is the Lord of all of them. We read in the Bible about the lords of the Babylonians back in Belshazzar's day. We read about the lords of the Chaldeans. We need to be thankful. Oh, we need to be thankful. He's Lord of lords. You look at the upcoming election and those that are running for office, you need to be thankful. He is Lord of lords. Need to look at political situations around the world and governments rising and falling and be thankful that with the instability that all that earth can offer, He is the Lord of lords. He pities the sorrowful. He protects the helpless. He provides for the needy. And He pardons the guilty. Nobody else will do that. They'll pick one or two of those things and do them, but nobody will do them all. He's God of God. He's the Lord of lords. The greatness of our God. We need to be thankful for His greatness. Then I want to call your attention down to verse number 26. We didn't read it. But we saw the goodness of God in verse number 1. The greatness of God in verse 2 and 3. I want you to see the glory of God in verse number 26. Just as the psalm began with, "Oh, give thanks." So the last verse says, verse number 20 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven." Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven. That's a great title. That title's used many times throughout the Bible. The God of heaven. Aren't you glad His kingdom is not of this world? Humanly speaking, if His kingdom was of this world, man could, humanly speaking, revolt against it and overthrow it. But I'm thankful that the ruler of my government doesn't sit on an earthly throne. He sits on a heavenly throne. And He has the praises of angels gathered all around Him. And He is high and He is mighty and He is lifted up. He's got the title God of heaven. His glory is beyond human reach. Just like the Tower of Babel when they tried to build, reaching up into the heavens, and He, by confounding their language, is such a simple thing, destroyed the building of that tall building. He's a God of heaven. He can stop anything, start anything, do anything He wants to do. He's a God of heaven. He's a God over all the gods. He's a Lord over all the lords. He's sitting high and lifted up. He's in the highest realms. His throne is set in glory out of the reach of His foes. Angels proclaim His glory. When you and I think tomorrow about being thankful, when we gather, Lord willing, with family, with friends, when we sit and relax and contemplate what we're really thinking of, I'm again thankful for the heritage of our country and Thanksgiving and the pilgrims and all that stuff. And we ought never eliminate that from our history. We need to always remember where we came from as a nation. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as we recognize that the reason that all happened was because of the hand of God. And as we think tomorrow about all the things that we have to be thankful for, we need to give thanks unto the Lord, verse number 1. We need to give thanks, verse number 2, unto the God of gods. And thankful that our God is higher than all the gods of this earth. We need to be thankful, verse number 3, that our God is the Lord of Lords. That nothing that happens down here can affect our eternity up there. Not even what happens in our life down here can affect what happened up there. This life is full of trials. It's full of difficulties. There won't be any of those up there because He would be in complete control. There's no devil's territory. There's no regenerate man. There's no old nature to deal with. He's the Lord of Lords. We need to be thankful because He is the God of heaven. Is there any beside me? He said, no, I know not any. Be thankful that He's the God of heaven. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Father, tonight, Father, we cannot even begin to list the reasons why we are thankful to You. From the breath that we have each and every moment, the constant beat of our heart that keeps us alive, the molecules of our body that just don't completely collapse. Father, we have so much that we hardly ever give regard to that we are to be thankful for. Father, we focus on the big things of this life and many times on our difficulties and our circumstances. And Father, the devil is so good at giving us reasons to complain. And Father, we disregard You by not giving You praise. We do You wrong, Father, by not thanking You, even in the difficult times. Yes. Father, I pray tonight that You would help us as we look forward to tomorrow to truly make it a day of giving thanks. We thank You for all the earthly creature comforts that we have. We thank You, Father, no one in this room will go hungry tomorrow. Yeah, we thank You, Father, for the heritage of our nation, Your blessing upon it. We do pray for its future. God, we know that disaster is going to happen. We know the Bible prophecy and all that's there. But Father, we just pray You would help us as believers to give us as much freedom as we can possibly have before the Lord returns to win people to Christ. Father, make us a thankful people. May others see it in us. May they make a remark and notice that we are a thankful people. Father, I pray You'd bless Your word to each and every heart tonight. Challenge us in Jesus' name. Amen. 2:4? 3:24. Page 324 in the songbook this evening. If you want to get a head start on your thankfulness tonight, the altar is always as open. Page 324.
I am thine, O Lord. Consecrate me now to Thy service, Lord. Precious pleading sign, oh, the pure. and before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious fleeting side.
All right, we'll end right there tonight. Trust you'll have a good time tomorrow on Thanksgiving. Brother Joel Dickinson, if you would, sir, dismiss us in prayer, please.